Welcome to the Catholic Link podcast, the podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I'm very grateful to be joined by Father George Elliott. A big thank you to our sponsor, the Catholic Institute of Technology, forming the next generation of saints, scientists, and scholars. I managed to get the order right this time. Look at me.
Way to go.
Becoming a servant of conformity. But I will also conform to my monthly schedule, which puts us at our episode about just kind of things I want to talk about, wherein I share my thoughts, and I hope that you get something out of them. And I was telling Father George before this episode started, my bishop is a Franciscan, and he started a Franciscan custom again in our diocese. And the custom is called quid putas, which is Latin for what do you think? And it's where the superior sends out an article, a book, a talk, and just sort of ask people, you know, what do you think about it? And this, for this time, our bishop sent out an article about preaching. And one of his big things, and, you know, unfortunately, he's 100% right, is a lot of Catholic priests are just not good at preaching. I hope that I'm not in that bubble, but it's statistically unlikely.
Same.
I was telling Father George before we started, I played tennis sometimes with an Episcopalian deacon, and we were planning something as like the local pro-life group, and you know, all the different churches are involved, and they were worried about all kinds of things that I just don't worry about. It was like, oh, well, you know, Billy Bob is going to get the band from the high school and they're going to play the hymn. And then Timmy over from the Church of Christ is going to want to lead this prayer. And I'm like, whatever. And this Episcopalian guy looked at me because he could see my lack of care. I guess I don't have a poker face for that. And he said, Father Rob, the reason you don't care is because your church believes things work ex opere operato, which means they work because you do them. Said us Protestants actually have to try. And I thought, oh gosh. But I was thinking about that. I was like, I do think a lot of Catholics, even good Catholics, we focus on the fact that the mass is valid if a validly ordained priest says the words he's supposed to say. Jesus shows up regardless of whether the preaching, the music, whatever, Jesus is there. But I think we sometimes use that as a crutch to not try. And the image I thought of was, let's say you go to like a 3-star Michelin restaurant, like just like really good food, like the best food in the world. If you go to that restaurant and the service is terrible, or the environment is terrible, yeah, the food is still technically a 3-star Michelin dish, but you're not going to enjoy it. Those factors are going to inhibit your enjoyment of that good thing.
Yeah. You know, kind of connected to this, I don't even remember what it is, in some priest spiritual life book, it talks about this kind of inverted trend between the amount of work that the priest needs to put in and the objective efficacy or, you know, effectiveness of certain parts of the mass. But really kind of subjectively, it's oftentimes, it corresponds more with the amount of work that the priest has to put in, right? So to explain, the priest has to put the most work of preparation into preaching. But objectively, that's kind of one of the least important parts of the mass, right? Then there's the actual liturgy itself, the ritual, where, you know, most of that's like written out and you just kind of, you know, say the black, do the red. But there are some things that you need to like train people to do well and, you know, kind of make good decisions about which options to use and how to do things. And, you know, that requires a little bit of work, but it is actually objectively more important than the homily. And then there's, you know, the kind of ex opere operato, right? The sacrament itself, where the priest actually needs to say the words of consecration, but like he doesn't really need to prepare that much for that. Like, just make sure you know the words of consecration and say them and, you know, intend it. But when it comes to people's subjective, right? So kind of an individual's experience of, you know, was that a positive experience? Really, things like preaching and music are the two things that come up all the time when, mm-hmm. when you hear about, like, oh yeah, like, how was your experience of Mass? It's like, oh, it was great. The homily was really good. And this, you know, they sang this song, which I love. Or, you know, it was horrible. I have no idea what Father was talking about. And, you know, it sounded like screeching cats when they were singing. And it, I don't know. I think it's a fascinating thing when we kind of look at it in that way. And actually, here in Nacogdoches, we recently, like, we try to get all of the really objective things in order. Like, okay, we celebrate Mass well. We, you know, catechize well. We try to teach well. All of these things. But we've actually realized that even kind of the community experience that kind of wraps around Mass ends up being one of the most important things to drive growth in the community. That, like, without a doubt, Mass needs to be done well. If it's not done well, then you're just building a community for no reason. But it's the community that actually gets people hyped up enough to start inviting their friends to Catholic things. And then that's where growth in the community comes from. And I just thought that was really interesting, that it's actually outside of the thing that really matters, right, Mass, that ends up being one of the things that drives growth in the community more than specifically, well, I suppose that's where the growth really starts. If you just celebrate Mass well, you will nurture your people well and things will be very good, but you don't really see the growth in the community. Which I don't know. I think it's
no, I think you're exactly right. And that was a hard lesson for me to learn as a priest, because I came in and I was like, the most important thing is the most important thing.
Yeah. Which is true, right? I mean,
yeah, that's never changed. But I guess one of the things I've learned is that if we don't do the parts that people care about well, we're actually doing a disrespect to the most important thing. If I'm presenting Jesus to you in a way that is unappealing or diminishes the goodness of God or lessens your appreciation of the holy gift, then that's on me.
Yeah. And it actually impedes the person from being able to fully appreciate and therefore, you know, worship God himself, because they're so hung up on these other things, which, like, I mean, you can say, like, well, they need to be better and not get hung up on these things. But, you know, we're all human beings and we just don't work that way always.
Right. And I think of, like, I think everybody's a little different. I think that solving the problem of bad preaching is not always just time. So I like to laugh because, at least in our diocese, a lot of the deacons get up and I just, the thing that goes into my deacon's a good preacher, so I'm not talking about my deacon, but I've heard a lot of homilies where it sounds like the deacon is reading this to his wife, like they're like hanging out in their bedroom and he's like reading a book report to his wife, and you can tell, like, she told him to add this remark here or something. Uh-huh. And I'm sure those guys spend a ton of time actually preparing their homilies, but it doesn't actually make them great. Mm. I think the biggest things for me in terms of preaching are, number one, you actually have to have something to say. Mm-hmm. You should look at the readings and actually have something you want people to walk away with. Whether that's clarifying something in the scripture, whether it's explaining something about the Catholic faith, whether it's a particular exhortation to that group of people in front of you. I gave a whole thing one time about people chewing gum in Mass because it drives me crazy in my parish. And I don't think that's something I need to share with, like, the whole world. But I had something I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I think people respond to that. If you actually have something you want to tell them, the brain is wired to pay attention to that.
Right. Human beings want to understand.
They just do. And I think a lot of bad preaching really comes from the fact that people don't have anything to say. So like when you preach a homily and it's 40,000 feet up in the air, and by that I mean that it has like no relationship to anybody's life. It has no connection. Like Jesus and the Catholic faith are just sort of like clouds. They're just kind of like out there, their background. And, you know, I don't feel like that has a lot to say. When you say something like, oh, our God is loving, and you're like, okay, like, yes. What is that? Does that mean I can do whatever I want and God's cool with it? Does it mean that God is only like tough loving, like a hardcore Thomist? Like God's like, I will your supernatural good. Like what are we talking about here? You know, I think that, so take for example, that idea that God is loving and merciful. And now we can zoom in and say, well, does that mean this? Does it mean that? What is it? What is the consequence of this thing that the scripture tells us? You know, now I have, now my mind is in gear. I'm paying attention to what's going on. But the other thing I find that makes for good preaching is people being authentic. I know that a lot of priests have like the priest voice. Like yeah. One of my best buddies, he's got like kind of a nasally voice when you talk to him. He's like, hey man, you know, what's up? Yeah. You know, like great movie tonight. And then when he's at the altar, he's like, in the name of the Father and of the Son. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But I find that sometimes we use, it's not necessarily just a priest voice. Sometimes we use like a priest persona when we preach, and it's divorced from who we are and how we express ourselves. Just like we said, people have a natural inclination to want to understand. We also have a natural inclination to want to know people. Like in Spanish, the difference between saber and conocer, right? Like
yeah.
We want to know a concept. We also want to know a person, you know? And I find that authenticity goes a long way. And it actually, for me at least, it keeps me from being long. I don't feel like I need to fill a space. I say what I need to say the way that I need to say it, and then I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of my favorite books about preaching also, it starts off, and it says, it's like, everybody's favorite topic to hear about is themselves. So make sure that it actually applies to them. You know, a lot of times in preaching, they're like, oh, no, never say you. Or, you know, never address the people directly. Like, wait a second, that's what everybody wants to hear about is them. You know, that's kind of why they're there, or at least in part, right?
Right.
And so I think kind of, you know, beyond the 40,000, just like general concepts, actually like, no, like, let's talk about what you do. And obviously not in an accusatory way, you know, trying to include ourselves, which I think is what you're talking about with that, like the authenticity, right? And be yourself.
Even one of the things I found really interesting is I preach a lot about like what the other churches are talking about or what's going on in this particular group. And I always try to do it as a way to say like, but this is who we are. This is what we think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like maybe some people don't like that, but I find that it's that way of trying to bring this home. Like I'm not a big charismatic guy. I'm not really a big fan of Pentecostal stuff, but I try to explain a little bit about what the alternative is, like why we do what we do, why we don't do those things. But, you know, but you could say, okay, well, that's Father Rob just talking about his hobby horse. And yeah, that's my weakness. We all go around on a giant gerbil wheel forever and ever talking about the same six things. I mean, that's called being human. But I think that having something to say goes a long way. And so if you find that you struggle with your parish's preaching, what do you think you should do? I don't think you should walk up to Father and be like, great homily. You know, you shouldn't lie. But I also don't think it's people's job to walk up and be the peanut gallery. Say, well, you said this and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. How do you think people can help their priests and their deacons preach better?
Mm. Yeah. You know, I think actually the first thing is our own disposition when we are listening to someone preach. I had the experience where when I was in the first part of seminary in philosophy, we had a professor who was a true philosopher, right? The man, he was actually really doing philosophy, Atherton Lowry, Dr. Atherton Lowry. And his classes were all over the place. Like, it just, if you just sat there, it seemed like it was him just rambling and wandering through his thoughts. But I was like, no, this man is a genius. I know he's actually, there's gold here, even though perhaps he is just kind of rambling. And so I am going to strive every single time I go to class to figure out what is the gold that happens to just fall from his mouth while he's talking. You know, that even if perhaps he does not have a clear thesis statement, I'm going to draw a thesis statement from it. And I'm going to figure out what are the kind of sub points that just happen to flow from whatever he's saying. And I'm going to apply that to my life and to the other things that I'm learning. You know, not only was that helpful for me because I ended up getting better grades than the other classmates who just blew them off, but it actually helped me to develop a better sense and understanding of philosophy that then prepared me to study theology. But it also really pushed me to reflect more deeply on reality and begin to develop thoughts clearly for myself. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think that sometimes that rambling priest can be very helpful to the people in the pews because mm-hmm. then they actually have to engage their brains and really mm-hmm. try to figure out, Lord, what are you trying to say to me right now in the midst of all of this? Which I think that's really helpful. And then actually that, I think, that ability to kind of come up with your own thesis statement of what the priest was trying to say can be very good, because then when you give feedback to the priest, you can go up to him and say, hey, Father, you know, I really appreciated, you know, I really appreciate you. Thanks so much. You know, in your homily, this is kind of what I got from it. Is that what you wanted to communicate? And mm-hmm. it's kind of a good experience for the priest to have to be like, no, that's not. Or even just like the concept of like, oh, I should have a sentence that I'm trying to communicate. You know, it forces the priest to kind of hone in on what precisely was he trying to communicate.
Yeah, that's first off, it's psychologically helpful because we can only control the things that are within our control.
Yeah.
We cannot control other people. So I cannot control what, like when I go to the bishop's masses as an MC, I'm not writing his homily. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think my bishop is a good preacher, but I find
good recovery there.
No, I mean he is a good preacher. That's okay, good. One of his strong suits. But I think it's interesting because I don't always agree with his interpretation, mm-hmm. but I try to control the things that are within my control, right? And I think that's what we can do, right? Mm-hmm. I can listen. I can try to put something together. Because I'm not the one writing it, you know? But I also think what you're saying is good because it involves the priest in that sort of like interchange. Mm. Because unfortunately, what we do a lot is we just say like, this is good, this is bad, right? Your homily is good, your homily is bad. And I remember this happened to me just like maybe last month. I was talking about something a megachurch pastor had said. So a megachurch pastor had got up and said, God loves people more than the Ten Commandments because God forgives people for breaking the Ten Commandments. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thought-provoking thing that he said that. And I was like, yeah. Well, technically God loves his law more than you because God's law is an expression of himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And also Jesus is the law made flesh. So God loves his son more than you. And I actually like just said it like that. Uh-huh. And a couple of people were like, maybe don't say that.
You're not wrong, but maybe you shouldn't say that.
And I was like, you know, fair. You got me. But, you know, they were asking, they're like, you know, what did you mean? And I realized when I was talking to them that this is a way more complicated thing for someone who's not trained in theology, right? Mm-hmm. To understand that like God loves the highest things. God is always the best. God is perfect. And God loves himself more than us because God is better than us. But it's really hard to get that across. And then there's all sorts of things even in there about like the fact that God's laws are an expression of his nature and not arbitrary conditions for him to like you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot there that's just like not intuitive to people. And if you just break it down into a one sentence soundbite, it's like icky, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people have a hyper anthropomorphized understanding of God, right? They're like, well, I know human beings and God, you know, uses words that we also apply to human beings. So I'm just going to pretend like God is this like superhuman, right? He is the Ubermensch, which is not really it, right? I mean,
in fact, I appreciated somebody talking to me or showing me that because I was like, you know, it wasn't ill will. It wasn't like spiteful. Uh-huh. It was just like, hey, you know, there's a lot of baggage there. You may not be ready to unpack. And I was like, yep. Yeah. But the other thing I found that might help priests is sometimes I just want to tell another priest like, hey man, just be yourself. Mm. Just talk like you. Just explain this like you would when we're like at a bar or when we're playing a game or just like, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. Just be that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's an affirmation, especially when it comes from your people. Like we like you. We want you. We don't want the Baltimore Catechism priest with the perfect
come over. Shiny shoes.
I want to be that guy. Side note. When I lose like 40 pounds, I'm going to look like him. That's my goal one day. Best I want to take that Baltimore Catechism to the barbershop and be like, I want this. And then I want to show the servers and I'm like, all right, this is the new mandatory haircut. See this boy following the priest? Your hair will look like this now. Okay. We will recreate this picture. Excellent. But anyway, I think preaching is something that we need to pay more attention to and we need to be able to help our priests instead of either just like enshrining them or condemning them, that there is a middle way. And I think that preaching highlights the Eucharist. It makes the Eucharist and the most important thing important to people. And as such, we should make it important to us too. So that's my thoughts on preaching. I hope that helps in your parish. But I think we need to end here. And so today's episode is sponsored by the Catholic Institute of Technology, an American Catholic research university located near the heart of the church in Rome, Italy. Catholic Tech's curriculum integrates the rigors of technical education with moral and spiritual formation in theology and philosophy. Students emerge as impactful leaders in STEM, poised to contribute to research and new technologies. To learn more about this innovative institution as a prospective student, parent, or supporter of faith in science, visit catholic.tech. Join the community of aspiring saints, scholars, and scientists at the Catholic Institute of Technology. My name is Father Rob Adams, and today I've been joined by Father George Elliott. You can find all of our previous material, as well as tons of other great Catholic things, over at catholiclink.org. Until next time, thanks for listening, and we will see you then.